Hey, welcome everybody. Get your Bible, turn to Daniel chapter 8. We're going to be getting into some interesting and some deep stuff today in the book of Daniel chapter 8. I want to read one verse to start us off. Daniel chapter 8 verse 3. Then I lifted up mine eyes, this is Daniel speaking, and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other. And the higher one came up fast. And I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. And I'll stop right there. What in the world is going on here? What's with this ram? I mean, with the two horns and one's higher than the other. What's this all about? Daniel chapter 8 is one of the more difficult chapters in Daniel. Not that we can't understand them all, but it's a little tougher than some of the other chapters. We're going to dig into this right out of my Daniel study guide. I hope you've ordered yours. Hope you've already got one. And if you do, you ought to go get it. If you've already got it, and follow along as we share some insights. Doc is here, and we're gonna dig into this chapter 8. I'm going to show you some things I believe we're going to help you understand the end times a little better, okay? The music's going to come on, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, glad to have you with us today. Boy, these are exciting days. It's a different country, isn't it? Things have changed in America. I mean, you look at just the first 2 weeks of President Trump's administration. There's a list as long as your arm, as long as your leg, I think.
He's done more positive things in 2 weeks than the last guy did in 4 years.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Well, I don't know if he's done too many of any positive things in the past.
Yeah, but. Yeah. It's amazing what's happening. And we did a little clip for the radio that you folks on TV won't see, but it is on YouTube. You can go and watch it. We did a show, I don't know what we called it, Doc, but we discussed the 10 kings, the 10 kingdoms, the 10 horns, the 10 toes, and the fact that it appears in the end time that there's going to be not just the Antichrist, but there's going to be 10 regions or 10 kingdoms or 10 financial institutions, something, and that they're going to help him rule for a while, but he'll be over them. And
I can see that formulating not only in the Greenland, Canada, Mexico situation, but globally you can see the different groups that are pulling together.
I thought of it the first time he said that maybe Canada needs to become the 51st state. My wheels started turning right away. Yeah. See, we think only the bad guys in Antichrist can bring in this system. That's not true.
No.
It's very possible that the good guys are also going to bring the world together.
And they don't. Folks, you know this well as I do, but the greater majority, if not all of the major politicians in the world, have no idea of prophecy. And what they have is a skewed idea.
Yeah. And I think Donald Trump loves America.
Oh, I'm confident.
I think he is a patriot. Mm-hmm. I think he wants to help people.
But in his position and with all of that, it is affecting and everybody knows it is affecting the entire world.
Yeah.
And what they don't understand is they're setting some of the final pieces for that Antichrist kingdom.
And I say, even so, come quickly.
Lord Jesus, amen.
All right, so Daniel, we finished with Daniel 7 last week, but I want to go back and touch on just a couple things, and then we're coming right to Daniel chapter 8. Just give us 2 or 3 minutes here. I was looking through my study guide here, and Daniel 7 is kind of long. It's one of the longer chapters in my study guide. And so I saw a few things that I wish that I had said something about. Let me just read you a couple of quotes that are in the book that I wrote here. The Antichrist is the head of the political entity of Babylon. The false prophet is the head of the religious entity of Babylon. I hope people understand that there's one Babylon, but that Babylon is made up of really three entities, the economic, the political, and the religious.
17 and 18 chapters of Revelation.
And the Antichrist heads up that political entity, a different beast, a different man. He's called a beast in Revelation 13. Now, these are human beings, by the way, folks. These are not angels.
Right.
These are not somebody that came back from the dead. Nobody comes back from the dead. These are human beings. Somebody's going to be the head of the religious leader, of the religious order.
Yeah.
Another's going to be the political leader.
Yeah.
And
exactly right.
And so the two beasts, by the way, I said this, two beasts never get along. You got to watch them. You put two beasts in a cage, one of them's going to fight for supremacy.
There's always got to be an alpha.
That's right. And by the way, that happens in the middle of the tribulation.
Yep.
Get my book, the Henry VIII, the 500-year-old prophecy of Henry VIII, little pamphlet. I share a prophecy. It's not really a prophecy, but it's something that happened in history that's going to repeat in the middle of the tribulation. And it's the Antichrist throwing the false prophet under the bus and going on without him. And listen to this statement I made here, because I talk about the Roman Catholic Church beginning with Constantine way back in the 313 AD. And his idea was to merge the church with the state.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand from a human perspective
that
sounded good, but it don't work. And I made this statement here: to merge a church with a wild beast creates a monster.
Yep,
and that's what we have.
That's exactly
the Roman
right.
Catholic system.
Mm-hmm.
The Spanish Inquisition, millions were put to death, tortured to death,
and they don't want anybody to know about that part of history.
Yep. And the Catholic Church helped Hitler rise to power in the 1930s,
right,
which was made public. A few years ago, I think Obama was president, the Pope apologized for it. So these are things that have been admitted to in recent years. Revelation 18, I wrote, has all the characteristics of America. I'm not saying it is America. I'm saying it could be. And the character traits are there, which are interesting, which only means that America is the head of the European system. That's
all. At the moment.
Yeah, at the moment, that could change.
Yep. Anything could change quickly in our world.
Yes. Yeah. So with that said, we'll move on to chapter 8. So I just wanted to touch base on a couple of things that we didn't hit on last week. Now, chapter 8, here's the theme for chapter 8. And by the way, these are my opinions. And this is what I chose for the theme of the chapter. And it's this: the ram, the goat, and the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Does that sound like the theme
to
you?
Well, that's the major players that are brought out in this portion of Scripture.
Yeah. And of course, the Antichrist isn't in it. He's shadowed in it.
Yeah.
And the ram, the goat.
And there's actions of that shadow that will be the fulfillment yet future.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll get to that.
First paragraph in the study guide here. Daniel 8 can be confusing. That's important.
It can be. If you don't understand, here's the key, Dan. If you don't understand that some prophecies are dual in their nature, when you understand that, this then begins to come a little easier to understand.
There's a man we're going to look at who hasn't come yet. He's looking forward, but that man represents somebody forward of him called the Antichrist.
Right. All of them were forward of Daniel at that moment.
There was something that was coming at the end of the Persian Empire. So Daniel 8 can be a little confusing, as it sounds like the same history lesson that we got in chapter 2 and chapter 7, the four kingdoms of the world, Babylon, Persia, Media Persia, Greece, and Rome. We see some of them same empires here, but it is speaking of the fall of the Persian Empire, which is empire number 2, the Medes and the Persians, and the rise of the empire of Greece under Alexander the Great. So the two middle kingdoms, Persia and Greece. Daniel chapter 8 is talking about the end of that second empire under Persia and the beginnings of Alexander the Great.
Right. And even giving you the information of his demise and the end. Yeah.
All right. And so it is, in fact, speaking about the kingdoms of Daniel 2 and Daniel 7, but specifically the end of the Persian Empire and some important prophetic details dealing with the kingdom of Greece. He's not only given us some history lesson, and to Daniel, it was a prophecy lesson.
Yes.
It hadn't happened yet. For us, some of it's happened, but not all of it. The first part has happened, but the first part has a dual prophecy, looking forward to the Antichrist kingdom.
Well, the verse that you started with, of course, is a picture of the Persian, of the Medes and the Persians, because it had two horns, and the one horn was greater than the other.
Yeah.
That's kind of goes back to the last chapter. The bear had one taller shoulder than the other because the Persians were stronger than the Medes.
Sure, yeah.
And so that's who that individual is talking
about.
So
that brings us to our little outline here. I explained the ram and the goat and the horns, and here's what I got. The ram is the kingdom of Persia. You could say Media Persia, but at this time it's Persia. Yep. Media is they're kind of in the background now, and there's one leader left. The two horns on the head of the ram are the two leaders that the Bible talks about: Darius and Cyrus, King Cyrus. Darius, I believe, is at the beginning, and I think they kind of rule together somewhat at the beginning.
They work together because if you do a little background study of all of this, you realize that the Medes and the gods that they served played into all, a religious aspect played into all of this that brought them together to defeat the Babylonians, who had kind of pushed the Medes god to the side. And so they were able to use that as a tool to bring them together.
Okay. So the two horns and one's bigger than the other.
Yeah,
the symbolizing Persians. One guy's more powerful.
Yes.
That's the Cyrus. Persians. That's Cyrus.
That's why it's always referred to as the Persian Empire.
Yeah.
But it started out as the Medo-Persian.
Not that Darius wasn't a great man. There's some great stuff.
But he was evidently a great soldier.
The lion's den in the Daniel study guide is precious.
Yeah.
It's precious. The love that Darius had for Daniel. It's just amazing. He was so brokenhearted when he had to put him in the lion's den, and he don't sleep all night, and he runs the next morning, runs to the hole, moves the rock off. Oh, Daniel, does thy God liveth? It's
okay,
precious.
It's okay.
Yeah. Hey, come on down, have some coffee with me. And all right, so
might not have been that great, but
the goat. And by the way, what happens next is sad. Very sad, where the people who tricked the king into making that decree that if anybody prayed to another god,
they became breakfast and dinner for the lions.
They were thrown in with their wives and their children alive into the pit, and their bones were broken down in the bottom there. That makes me think a little bit about what's going on today. You know, you do wrong and you try to destroy people.
Yeah.
The next administration comes on the scene. Guess what? The light's turned on. Yeah. All of a sudden, you're in the spotlight and judgment.
It also shows you the wisdom of knowing and understanding humanity, that a people group that is indoctrinated from the time they're born all the way through, and they're nothing but indoctrination, the only way to change that is to eliminate it.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons why no Arab nation, no matter what flavor they will take the Palestinians.
Yeah, that's right. And it was just offered again. They wanted to send them, and I forget which country it was. All right, so the goat. So we got the ram, Persia, the two horns on its head. Mm-hmm. Of course, God uses animals to illustrate these things. And by the way, what does a ram do? He just butts heads with everything.
And that's what it goes on to say. He stomps in every direction.
It don't matter how big you are. You get in the way of a. I've seen videos of the guys on many motorbikes in third world nations. Them goats will knock them over. It's funny to watch.
Yeah,
they don't matter how big. They'll take on a bull or cow. Yeah. And that's so. God is saying that Persia is like a ram. He don't mess with him. Don't get in his way, because he's coming through and he's going to butt you in the head.
And then he raises up Greece,
and
that is the goat. That's the goat, and he don't need but one big horn.
Yeah,
and he not only kills or eliminates, but he stomps it.
Now, a goat doesn't have one horn, obviously, so God is improvising. He's illustrating.
Horns are always prophetically symbolizing power and authority.
Yeah. And that horn represents a man called Alexander the Great. That everybody watching our show today has heard Alexander the Great. There's movies about him, books about him.
Nobody, basically, as far as I know, in all of history, in as short a period of time, accomplish what he accomplished militarily. Nobody.
Yeah. Someone said by the age of 29 or 27, as a young man, he ruled the world.
Yeah.
The world as they knew it.
He might have been 30, somewhere along in there, but it's amazing. He was a tremendous soldier.
So, Alexander the Great, when I was in Israel, my wife and I, in 2017, one of the places we went was Megiddo, and we're standing there looking down at the valley where Armageddon is going to take place. And that's the same place, and maybe we were standing on the same spot, I don't know, where Alexander the Great once stood and made the statement, this is the greatest battlefield in the world.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if Alexander the Great, I don't believe he knew about the Battle of Armageddon, because the New Testament hadn't been given yet.
Yeah.
He saw that property, and he, to him as a mastermind of battle that he had. He got it from his father.
And it's amazing he did all of this. And how old was he? 36, 7 when he died.
He might have been less than that, but
he was a relatively young guy, and
34.
And so I don't think he had more than maybe an 8 or 10 year period of reign when he did all of this. But it's amazing, Daniel. Of course, in chapter 8, he's having a vision. He's in the palace at Shushan, by the way, which was original Elam. And now it's called the province of Elam, because now the prophecies that you read about in the book of Jeremiah was given about 70 years before this. And so Elam no longer is its own kingdom, but it's a province of the Persian kingdom. And so he's there. And all of a sudden, he's looking out over the river, and it's as real as everything. It's surreal. He faints. I can only imagine what it must have been like that day.
Yeah.
Wow.
So a little background here. By the way, the chapter takes us further into the future of the Grecian Empire.
Mm-hmm.
That's Greece. The Bible calls it Grecia. Mm-hmm. We call it the Grecian Empire. But it's Greece. Old Greece. Takes us further into the Grecian Empire, and I wrote here, why? To give history, but more importantly, to give us some attributes of the coming man of sin.
That's right.
The guy we call the Antichrist.
And a little bit about the background of how it all comes and ties together.
Because what's going to happen in this chapter is going to happen again in the future.
Yes, because there's going to be something happen we'll talk about in just a moment that is a shadow of really what it's all about, yet future to us.
Yeah. So some background. In 336 B.C., remember the clock in the Old Testament's going backwards. Mm-hmm. It starts at
counting up shorter.
4,000 going down. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's confusing. So in other words, 336 before the New Testament begins, as they call it. Actually, New Testament don't really begin till the death of Christ, but anyway. Folks know what I mean here. 336 B.C., Alexander the Great has his father's name Philip. He was assassinated. Nothing new about that. That's been going on for centuries, right? That kind of stuff still going on. It almost happened here with President Trump.
Yep.
Philip, his dad was assassinated. And at 20 years of age, Alexander claimed the Macedonian throne. So when he's 20 years old, his father's assassinated. Yep. He claims the throne. His son claims the throne, Alexander. I'm sure he had some training from his dad.
He knew how to fight.
He was expert.
Mm-hmm.
By 322 BC, 4 years later, he would become the third ruler as depicted in the statue in Daniel. In other words, he'll become the leader of the world around Israel at that time.
And we need to remember the reason of all of that is because all of these kingdoms are overlords of Israel.
Yeah, the times of the Gentiles.
Yes.
And so He becomes the third. It started with Nebuchadnezzar, mm-hmm. Babylon, and of course his grandson.
And through that, but
and
the
then
Babylonians.
The Medes and the Persians, mm-hmm. you know, Darius and mm-hmm. Cyrus. And now
Alexander the Great.
His father was assassinated, but he was mm-hmm. not yeah. the head of the world yet. Alexander takes over. He kills.
He's the one.
He takes over the Persians.
He's the one that's going to really
is
do
that
something
the president
about
calling?
It.
Because if that's Mr. Trump,
so.
I want to talk to him.
No,
and
this
has never happened on our show before. The doc doesn't turn his phone volume off
normally, but, because they work on my Bluetooth and my hearing aids.
And now I'm making fun of you, and I'm thinking, well, I hope mine's off, because usually that's what
I usually have it.
You make
off.
Fun of somebody, and then it happens to you.
I'm not worried.
So at the age of 20, his father dies. They're still under the mm-hmm. kingdom of Persia at
yes.
that time. 4 years later, I think I get that right, 14 years later, he's going to take yep. over. Alexander the Great's going to go on his yep. military campaign. He'll be the yep. ruler of the world.
And then because he's not married, and doesn't have any children, at least.
Not that we know of.
That we know of, legally. But anyway, so there was nobody to take his place on the throne.
He's known in history as Alexander the Great. When Alexander died at 34 years of age, his kingdom was divided between his four generals.
The four generals.
And we uh-huh. see this in different passages
and
of the
historically,
Bible.
Historically, you can find all of these and how they battled with each other, whatever, and how the Seleucids rose to the leadership.
At this point, the narrative moves in the future to the year 165 mm-hmm. BC. So the story yeah. goes forward here. Alexander the Great takes over. Of course, he dies. Mm-hmm. His four generals are going to take over. They're yep. going to have four regions of the world.
That's the four horns that come out of him yep. here in the text.
One of them is going to be in the lineage of yep. a boy who's going to yep. become important yep. here. Now, let me yep. read him a little paragraph. The timeline in Daniel chapter 8 moves to the future to approximately 165 BC with the rule of a descendant mm-hmm. of one of those four generals. I'm not saying he was his son, but a son or whatever.
He was in that lineage.
He's in that lineage. Because there's quite a few years there, but we've gone from 322 to 165. Yeah. So, in that lineage of the four generals is a brutal.
And this is
tyrant.
The development. You're now into what was called the early days of the Roman Empire.
Yeah. Now, just so people don't get confused, the Roman Empire is not ruling the world yet. But they are there, and they are yep. ruling their area.
They are.
But Greece has conquered the world, yep. so, you know, but how do you control it all?
But it's been divided up by those four kings. But by the time we get here,
Rome has risen.
The battle between all of them has brought the Seleucid lineage yep. into what will be the strongest,
yep.
and, the Iron Leg.
And the winner of that battle is going to take over the leadership.
That's right.
And that's going to be...
That'll be the full-blown Roman Empire.
That'll be the leg, the iron, yeah. and all that. The Roman kingdom. So, the rule of the descent of one of these four generals, a brutal tyrant named Antiochus Epiphanes.
Epiphanes,
if I'm saying that right. No. That's how I hear people say it.
Right.
Now, folks, listen very carefully. He is the little horn in Daniel chapter 8, verse 8. Let me read that. 8:8. Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. For it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. Verse 9. Now, verse 8 tells us the great horn that's broken, that's Alexander the Great.
Mm-hmm.
The four notable ones mm-hmm. are going to be the four generals.
Yes.
We know that by looking back
yes.
in history. You wouldn't have known that without it happening, but mm-hmm. now that it's happened, we look back and we see that. The four generals took the kingdom. That's how he set it up. The four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them, four generals, is going to come a fourth. A little horn, it said. I'm mm-hmm. in verse 9 now, chapter 8, verse 9, which waxed exceeding great forward toward the south, toward the east, and toward the pleasant land.
That's Israel.
Yeah, and I have a picture of that in the study guide. And this piece of property that this fourth general had, and that this guy's going to come to, he's going to be in that lineage, includes the promised land, Israel. What I want people to realize here, when I say he's the little horn, don't confuse that with the little horn called the Antichrist later on.
But he is a shadow of it.
He is.
Now, the word of Epiphanes is one he gave to himself, and it literally means God manifesting. Yeah. And he's declaring himself to be God.
And I wrote here, he is not the Antichrist, who is the little horn of Daniel 7, but is a type or a shadow of him. And you will see this in my commentary later on in this study guide. We probably won't get to it.
Because
but
he's going to
do what's going to happen in Matthew 24.
Yes.
The abomination.
But Matthew 24 is talking about something yet future.
Right.
Because when Christ, 200 years after this happens, because this king is going to come in and set up a display of Zeus in the temple and offer pigs on the altar. History says that it was 2,300 days, the Bible said. And by the time of the rise of the Maccabees revolt, and then the removal of those stones and putting new stones in and dedicating, you find that it was exactly six years, 3 months, and 18 days.
Where did the time go, Doc?
Well, it's gone.
Yeah. All right, so I don't know. We may want to do a little more on this next week because we didn't get as far as I thought we were going to get. But this man named Antiochus Epiphanes, he dies in 164.
Yep.
He's going to desecrate the temple. He's going to sacrifice pigs in there. And a lot of people get confused with it. This is a shadow of what's going to happen in Matthew 24.
Because there will be a little horn, which is the Antichrist in the future, that will do the same thing, basically the same thing, only it'll be an image of the Antichrist that is set up.
Yeah, it's not going to be pigs this time.
No, it'll just be the elimination of the oblation.
Yeah, he's going to take the sacrifice away, and he's going to become
the
sacrifice.
But this is a shadow. In other words, this is a picture of what dual prophecy is.
Yeah.
There was a time historically where there was a fulfillment as a shadow, and yet the full meaning is yet future.
Well, I got a few things highlighted. Tell you what, next week we'll spend 5 or 6 minutes. I'll read a few highlighted things. I'll give some lessons, and then we'll move on to chapter 9 next week. We want to keep this flowing. We can't give it all to you. Get the study guide. If you don't have this yet, get on the phone, call the number, and order this, or get on your website, get on your computer, and go to the website, and you can order it there. Interesting stuff. Anything to say in closing, Doc?
Nope.
All right. He's going to get his phone shut off for the next. That's funny. Anyway. All right. Well, thanks for being with us today. We appreciate every one of you. We're viewer supported. Contact us. We'd love to talk to you. But until next time, keep your eyes on them sky.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for watching our regularly scheduled program. We are a viewer-supported program, and if you'd like to partner with us to help keep us on the air, we would appreciate it.
Well, you can call either our 800 number. It's on the screen there, and donate if you'd like, because we sure could use the help. We're a donor-supported ministry.
Yeah. The website's right there on the screen. The phone number's scrolling on the bottom there. And $5, $25, $10,000, whatever.
Well, we've been on, going around 4 years, I guess.
Almost five, Doc. June will be 5 years.
And we've made it this far on the donations of God's people.
We're on nationwide on different networks. And if you don't know how to find us, contact us. We can get you a brochure. We're on a lot of networks nationwide, CTN, VTN, all kinds of different ones. Of course, we're here on BBS Radio as well. And we appreciate each and every one of you. We hope you're enjoying the content that we bring.
Right.
If you haven't noticed, we are prophecy people.
Yes, and we're old-fashioned Bible prophecy. We're not chasing illegal aliens. We're not chasing aliens and fallen angels and spaceships. We're just trying to follow the guidelines of the Word
of
God.
That's right. Old-fashioned Bible prophecy. And, some of you have been watching us for quite a while already. You know what we are. And we try to put it right on the bottom shelf for you.
Yes.
Okay? So, listen. Partner with us. Pray for us. Yes. Pray for the ministry here. And get involved if you can. We'd love to hear from some of you. Contact us. Send us an email. Send us a text message. Call. We'd love to hear from you. All right. Well, stay tuned for one of the shows from our archives coming right up. Hey, welcome everybody. Brother Goodwin here. We've got an exciting program for you today. The last 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago, we did a show called What Happened in 2023. And then if you recall, if you watched last week's, we did a show called What's Coming in 2024. I hope you saw that one. And listen, this week, we're going to take a little twist. We're going to share with you what we believe, what we want to do in 2024. In other words, what's coming with Prophecy in the Spotlight in the coming year? We're going to share a little bit about that, and some of it's speculation, obviously, but we're going to try to share with you, our viewers, what our goals and desires and plans are for this coming year. Stand by. Hey, welcome everybody. Prophecy in the Spotlight here. I'm Brother Dan Goodwin, your host. Dr. Charles Hiltonville is with us today, our co-host. Doc, let me just read one verse here in Daniel, a very familiar verse here, if I can find it. I just had it. Talks about, time. All through Daniel, talks about time. Mm-hmm. And go thy way, Daniel, for thy words are closed and sealed till the time of the end. Sealed the book, he says in chapter 12, verse 4. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro. Knowledge shall be increased. Time is all we have, Doc.
That's all we have. And I don't know about you, but when I go to the register, a lot of times I say, get ready to pay for something. I said, we've got a lot more time to have money, but I'm not sure I have much of it either.
Yeah. So here we are. I believe this is our first show of 2024.
Yes.
I believe this is the first airing mm-hmm. of a show in the year 2024. I'll tell you what, there were times I didn't think we were going to get here, Don.
Yep.
I mean, there were some dates in 2023 that sure looked like it fit, like a glove. Yep. And by the way, that's not date setting. I have days every year that I find.
If you're not really fully looking for it, you wouldn't be trying to figure it out.
I mean, I have so many pieces of the puzzle, the 25-20 sure. days, and we understand how the seven feasts are intertwined. And there's just every year I find dates that sure look like a good day for the rapture. Mm-hmm. Now that's not date setting. That's just speculating and studying and looking.
Well, every morning I get up, I think last night it'll have been a good night, you know. But yeah,
but we got several shows planned, at least up here in my noggin, and I'm sure you've got some stuff.
I've got some things I want us to accomplish.
I want us real soon, Doc, and we touched on it in one of our shows, and I said we're going to do a show on that. We're going to talk about the different categories of prophecy.
Yeah,
that's going to be interesting. For instance, there's some prophecy that's about the world around us, and it had nothing to do with us. It's about the conditions. 2 Timothy 3 fits the bill for that.
Yep.
In the last days, perilous times shall come. That's mainly talking about the world around us. There's prophecies about the church and and Israel. We're going to try to give some categories and some scriptures and help the viewers with that. But here we are. It's now 2024. And I'll tell you what, 2030 is looking awful good. for possibly the middle of tribulation. We're going to talk about that in a later show.
Be a good show.
So these are some things coming. We're going to talk about the Great Reset. We're going to talk about the World
Economic
Forum.
It's really coming down the line, isn't it?
Yeah. It has to. We're $32, $34 trillion dollars in debt, and there's stuff that's going to come due that they're not even including in that, unfunded liabilities.
But to make that reset, you got to reset a whole lot of things besides finances.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's coming, and we're going to talk about the 2030 agenda, because that is really starting to take the forefront on things, and we got to pay attention to that. We got to realize that 2030 thing is a big deal, and it's almost like it's bigger than man himself, like there's somebody else
overshadowing that. We know who's orchestrating all of this.
Yeah.
It's the one who's been running the world since Adam gave it control over.
And he's trying to bring in that one world system, because that's the only way you can control the world, is to have a one world leader, one world system. Yep. You got to be able to cut off the financial system. Yep. And by the way, we're headed digital faster than anybody wants to talk about.
And everything.
All you got to do is look at the truckers in Canada when they drove to their capital.
Everything.
They shut their banks
going
off,
digital.
Shut their credit cards off.
It is.
Yeah.
And my pastor son was talking Wednesday night about some data that he had picked up, the attention span. Of what's happened in the last 10 years, the attention span is just going like this. And it's all because of digital media, live streaming.
Yeah.
All of that is changing.
Hey, do you remember the earthquake? Remember the fire in Hawaii?
Yeah.
What happened to that?
Nobody talked about that.
There's so many controversial things with that. You couldn't begin to talk about it.
No, yeah.
And we'll never get the answers. That's gone from the
news. You know, it's kind of like a booklet I wrote on the Great White Throne Judgment of God. There'll be a time coming when all of that will have an answer.
The books will be open.
Everybody will. Nothing will be hidden in those days.
Yep. And men will answer for their sins
yes.
and be cast into the lake of fire.
And it will accumulate more and more the greater the judgment because of it.
Yeah. Well, folks, we made it all the way through 2023 as a ministry here. As all, most of you know, we are viewer-supported. We are dependent upon the gifts of God's people who watch our programs, either here on CTN or VTN in Arkansas on Saturdays. And CTN is Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time in most places. And we're on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel that gets a lot of people watch there. And it is God's people who pay to keep us on the air. And seems like, Doc, we just make it every quarter. We just make it. And we also have been on pray.com for 2 months now. It could be that this is our last one. I'm not sure. We signed up to do 2 months just to see what happened. We wanted to reach the audience at pray.com, and I believe we've reached some people. And I believe there are thousands of people that saw us. And now they have the opportunity to follow us over here on television or YouTube.
It's just so much expense.
It is,
Dan, that we just had to make a decision. Are we going to drop the TV that we know has an audience that we're really ministering to? Yep. Or are we going to drop that and go this other route that we're not really seeing what I would call the results that we would need to see to try to find a way to get all that funding?
Because pray.com or any ministry that we take on that costs money, it has to pay for itself.
It has
by the gifts of God's people. And pray.com is
a different thing,
setup.
And it's a worldwide thing. But again, it's one of those niches that's meeting that mindset of a different world.
People watch on their phone, and then they move on.
Yes.
I don't think they feel the need to be a partner financially.
Most people
with you
are only looking for a short 8 or 10 minutes maximum. They're not looking for a 30-minute program in those kind of formats.
But we have we're glad we went on, and we knew
we
knew when we went on that we probably wouldn't be able to stay long. Mm-hmm. It would depend on finances,
yes.
and, And so we're very glad that we went on.
Now, if somebody wants to send us whatever it is, $10,000 for another, how much is it?
We spent $11,000 for 2 months.
That's what I'm saying. People don't understand how expensive programming is.
Yeah, and CTN is just as expensive as well. But we've got a network that covers that. And we raised some money, and that's why we went on print. We raised some money up front.
And we are thankful for the... And more people took our challenge than we even thought would.
And I believe it was worthwhile. I believe there are a lot of people that watch us on pray.com that next week or whenever we're off there, they're going to, hey, where's that prayer? I've been watching this for several weeks. Where'd they go? Yeah. And I think then they'll say, well, I'll go find them. They'll Google us and they'll... Look. So we're hoping that some of the thousands that watched us over there will follow us and come join us here on YouTube or we
don't know are the 25 or 30,000 people that watch that program, is it just people that looked at it for a second and then just went on? We don't know.
Yeah, but there were, I mean, I looked yesterday, this morning, there were 24,000 people watching.
Yeah.
So there's a crowd there, and that's what we wanted to tap into.
And we are ministry. And we're not looking, but it takes funds in our world today to have ministry.
And I know I say this often. Doc and I get no salary here. We get no money. No. All the money that comes in goes to keeping us afloat out here.
Yeah.
And that's what we're here for. That we didn't get in this to make money.
We didn't start it. We're not going to ever get into that.
No. So let's move on, Doc. Let's share our hearts here. But right before we do that, she'll put that up for you. I think it's an 8-book set. I think one of the books is not in the picture she's going to put up, but I just threw a bunch of them together. I'm going to offer a deal on these are my little booklets. Most of them are 30 to 40 pages. The Redemption book's bigger. It's 80 pages, but I threw that in the pile as well. We're going to give you a package deal on that, and I think you're going to like it. Go to the website, prashantaspotlight.com. Click on my bookstore, or in fact, we'll have this on the front page of the Spotlight page. You'll be able to click right from there. And I want you to get these are what, a lot of what I'm doing now is these little booklets. They're easy to read. They're right on point, right on target. Henry VIII right there. I love that book. And just good stuff here that will help you. These little books, Doc, you can read them in an hour.
Yeah, they'll take no time. Yeah. We started writing booklets about 2 years ago or something, and because you can just take a single subject and without getting running rabbit trail, and you can be very helpful to people.
You get a 300 or 400 page book, it's intimidating for people.
Yeah.
They don't think they
can
read it.
Oh, in our world today, the greater majority would never pick it up.
Well, let me start with that. That's on my list for what we plan to do, and I know Doc is as well, but I plan on continuing to do more of these booklets. And I know Doc. I was just talking to you in the office. You got a couple.
I'm
of printing
working
right
on
now.
One right now,
and we're going to continue to put out some material that we believe will help God's people out there. Mm-hmm. And I've got another book that I'm working on. I can't tell the audience the title. I've told a few people the title, and a few people I've told. But I believe I'm going to start on it in this January. I'm going to begin what I believe is going to be my best and most important book. I wish I could share the title, but you can't do that because someone will steal that title before you get it registered. And but I'll tell you what, I have got a book that's been in my head and moved into my heart for 6 months or more, and it's going to be awesome. And I can't wait for them to hear about it.
But that's how it works. It's to us, it's like putting a message together for a church or an occasion, and that's the way my books have always been. Just felt like this is something I want to make sure I get to the audience.
Yeah, I'm actually praying and hoping that maybe a publisher will come my way, a real publisher that pays for everything. If not, I'll do like I always do. We'll print it ourselves.
Yep.
And it'll be first class. It'll be professional. But I'd sure love for this book to be my crown jewel and somebody pick it up and get it in the bookstores. But we'll see.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things on my list, Doc, is that I plan to continue writing this year and
using this ministry to propagate it and get it out Amen. There, and not for money, but because we want to influence people. Yep,
and give the information to folks.
And the printed page is so important. I mean, our Bible is print.
Absolute still is.
And we've got to have good material.
We
to
say
get
printed
in the
page,
people.
But we realize in our world today that printed page sometimes
digital.
Is digital, but it's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So another one is, and I think we already said this, we are going to continue with CTN.
Yeah.
I know we have been floating out some questionnaires and, you know, asking folks if they want us to stay on. And overwhelmingly,
yes.
People want us to stay on CTN.
I get comments from folks, not every day, nothing like what you get, but you're the host here, and you carry all the lion's share of all of this. I just get to show up and participate. I've provided a building, and sometimes I do give you an idea or two what I think we need to cover, but you carry the lion's share, especially the responsibility financially.
Well, yeah, but we're a team. God has chosen you to be here. And you know, if the Lord takes you home before me, it's going to be sad because you're a big part of this.
I enjoy what we're doing, and I think we make a good team. Somebody's got to have the brains around here.
I was getting to that.
Amen. I enjoy it, but I'm making some changes in my ministry.
Yeah. And we're also going to stay with VTN in Arkansas for those of you that watch on Saturdays at 2:30 in the afternoon Central. Memphis, Little Rock, all throughout Arkansas and some of Missouri there. We are staying with them.
I think we have a pretty good following there.
I think we do, yeah.
I get book sales and things from what I know comes from that area. It has to be.
Yeah, and we are leaving. I think I already said we are leaving pray.com as I think this might be the last week, but don't take me for sure on that. It could be that there's one more week coming. I'm not sure. And we thank pray.com. The people were good to us. They gave us a discount, gave us a bonus spot. They did everything to make us feel comfortable and welcome. But we told them when we started that it was probably going to be temporary unless some big money came in, and that could still happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I could get a big donation tonight, and somebody say, "Hey, I want you to stay on VTN. Here's some money," and we'll stay on pray.com if that happens.
Yeah.
I think I said VTN. I meant pray.com. We went on there for a purpose. We wanted to tap into their audience and try to gain some of them to watch our shows, and I think we did that. Now, the only way to stay on there is somebody's got to foot the bill. Somebody's got to. It's like $6,000 a month to be on there. I'm just being blunt with you.
Yeah.
And
I'd like for CSC even find another station or two like VTN.
Yeah, and they're out there,
and it's not quite as expensive. And
we were on PTL
more
for
realistic
a while,
for us.
And I wouldn't mind trying PTL again. We were on there for several months, and for whatever reason, we decided to get off, and it
probably
wasn't
financial.
Yeah,
we had to make a decision.
We just didn't have a lot of feedback to know who was listening on PTL. It's something we might ought to try again, because it isn't about money, it isn't about fame. It's about getting on the airways and getting our message out there.
That's it.
And I say this in all humility, and I know you do too, Doc. There's no prosy ministry like this one.
I don't think so. I really don't think so. There's some good people out there, and then there's some folks that I think need a little further teaching personally.
Most of the prophecy world has gone into the sci-fi.
Yes, they have.
And very sad.
It is sad. And what I do understand, and you probably get it too, but I get communication through email usually, and it's obvious to read and see that the greater majority of our people are not just watching us, they're watching a lot of those others as well.
Yeah.
And this is where they come to get almost opposite understanding of some of that. There's no place else that I don't think that's going to address the situations that's being taught in a different light than we would. I think we're the only ones that have that answer from this side.
I got a call on the way here. In fact, we were 10 minutes out. We were in, what's the town where the restaurant is?
El Dorado?
Yeah. We were coming through El Dorado, and the phone rang. I didn't know if it was spam, and I get a lot of spam calls. But it was Michigan. I answered it, and it was a gentleman. We talked all the way here, and then I stayed outside and talked to him a little bit longer. He's a viewer up in Michigan. He doesn't watch us on television. He watches on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And he's got some of my books. I told him a couple that he ought to get. And he was asking me questions. Great guy. Mm-hmm. And he said, what do you think of so-and-so? I said, well, he's a good guy. I said, you got to be careful. He believes in the the Nephilim. He said, oh, yeah, boy, your book really helped me, he said.
Yeah. It's helped a lot of people.
The Great End Time Distraction. You have a couple chapters in that book. And I say that in all humility, too. There's no book anywhere like that.
I don't think
book.
Anybody's addressed it like you're saying. We're the, honestly, I think we probably are the only ones that's going to address these issues from a realistic Bible as well as science background understanding.
When I wrote that book and I sent it out to some people, I lost some people out over it, some ministry, radio, and some places that I used to do interviews a lot. They haven't touched me since that book came out. And you know what? I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
That book had to be written. And the people who threw me under the bus because of that need to read that book, and they need to get right with God.
You know as well as I do, and I have it in the front of almost every one of my booklets, about 2.5 pages explaining some Bible principles to follow in Bible interpretation. And what you're talking about is men, good men, but they will not allow their pride to be set aside to just follow basic Bible interpretation principles.
I told the guy on the phone, of course, we're talking about the book called The Great End Time Distraction. I don't think she has that in queue, so don't worry about it. I don't know if I got one right here or not. I guess not.
I don't think so.
The Great End Time Distraction, I talk about the Genesis 6 controversy. You got a couple chapters that I put in there. Good stuff, by the way, that added to the book. I have a chapter called Four Irrefutable Facts.
And they are irrefutable. But people will not allow the tradition that they have brought into their thinking. Their pride will not allow them to break that chain of tradition to just follow biblical truth.
Yeah. I have had preachers call me. In fact, the guy I was talking to on the phone, he's not a preacher, but he said, you really helped me. He said, I was kind of not sure what to believe about that. I read your book, and that he says, that settled it for me. And I told him, I said, if you're a Bible believer and you're willing to read that book and let that book show you from the Bible what the truth is, you'll believe like I did.
Yep.
It's irrefutable.
It is. One of the things that we're talking about, things that we're going to do, I'm working on a booklet right now called The Judgment Seat of Christ, because I've discovered the greater majority of the people that are in the meetings where I'm holding do not have even preachers do not have a right understanding of the judgment seat of Christ.
And I think the seven feasts of the Lord clears that up.
Yes.
An understanding of what the seven feasts are.
Yep.
We're going to a wedding. At the beginning of the marriage supper, the groom is going to brag. That's why she comes in. She's all beautiful. She's got the white dress. And it's all about her, by the way. The wedding's about the bride. Nobody comes to see the groom. They come to see the bride.
That's right.
And you brag on the bride. Isn't that what the judgment seat's
about? The judgment seat of Christ is an awards ceremony. And
there'll not be one sin brought up, will there?
No. And I've got several other booklets that I'm going to work on this year, as well as one major book that I've been working on for years, and hopefully get back to it.
How about the walk through time? Is that ever going to be any print with that?
Anytime? I'm going to put some materials together. Well, all the PowerPoints will be put together.
Now, will that be for like a teacher, or will that be for a common person?
Well, probably for Bible studies.
Yeah.
A common person could take it, or any ordinary person could take it, but it'll be designed
to be kind of like my teaching ministry.
Kind of like my Matthew 13, the parables of Matthew 13. It's designed, anybody can pick it up and learn from, but it's basically designed to be a Bible study group, Sunday school group, or Wednesday night, Sunday night series. Pastors have used it.
Now, real quick, Doc, did you have anything else? Did you write anything down about where we're headed this year, crossing the spotlight?
Yeah. I was going to show everybody. That's what I wrote down. and I've signed it at the bottom. I'm going to sign it at the bottom. I've taught for years, surrender is the one thing that Christianity seldom has. We are willing to do whatever as long as we can say this much, this long, this deep. Surrender is signing a blank piece of paper and saying, Lord, whatever you fill it in, that's it. I'm 75. My health's not as good as by any means as what I'd love for it to be. My wife's health's not good. So this year, I'm starting out with a blank page. I don't have any real meetings scheduled on purpose. I'm not sure whether I want to do much traveling. I'm backing away because of health reasons right now. I'm not traveling as much. So I'm going to spend most of my time writing and working with you in this ministry here.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting way to look at it. That blank piece of paper.
Yep.
God, I'm here to do whatever you want me to do.
I'll be here, and even over the last 12 years and all the traveling, many years I was gone 45, at least 40 weeks out of every year. Sometimes only be home for 2 days out of 22 days. And I just can't do it anymore. Physically, I can't do it.
Well, I had, that leads me to my final thing I wrote down here. Because I'm going on 64, so I don't have that blank page yet. I'm writing stuff down. Prophecy conferences.
Yes.
I
would go out on my blank page. I would go out with you on a meeting or even maybe a certain meeting, but I'm not scheduling them like I used to.
I talked to a preacher on the way here, and I gave him first shot. I said, you know, here's what I want Doc and I to do this year. I'd like to have at least 4 big multi-day meetings where you and I are both there. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying we can't bring someone else in, but it's mainly going to be you and I. And I'd like to do at least 4 in 2024.
I'd be willing to do that or a half a dozen, but
yeah. Yeah, I mean, if more come in and you can handle it, we'll do more. Obviously, we both preach and we both do other things on the side as well. And I mean, if you couldn't make one and I could, or vice versa, but I would love to get to schedule at least 4 that we can advertise, promote, get people around the country to fly in or drive in.
I've been praying the Lord would open up that avenue for us.
Because I believe we're out of time.
Yep.
And not only do I want to wake up some people in that church that we go to, but I want preachers to come to that meeting.
I agree.
We've got to reach these preachers.
Yes.
And so that's really a burden on my mind. Maybe, folks, you can help us with that. If you're a pastor, or if you're in a good church and you've got a pastor that you think would be interested in something like that, give us a shout. Contact us. And I'm not saying we'll schedule your church, but we will consider it. We'll pray about it. We'll look at it. Doc and I will talk about it. And we want to be a blessing. And we want to encourage and get people to see just where we are on God's time clock.
Amen.
Doc, real quick, what must we do to go to heaven?
Well, the most important thing, number one, you got to realize you're born a sinner headed to hell. It's not God's fault. But in God's love, he sent his son to Calvary's cross. And Jesus, in his love, shed his blood on Calvary's cross for the redemption of your soul. All you need to do is believe what Jesus did for you and call on the Lord, and he will be your Savior.
Amen.
It's that simple.
And until then, keep your eyes on them skies.